We're going through Acts. We're going to continue in Acts here together this morning, Acts 4, starting in verse 23. We're going to do 23 through 31 today together. Anybody in here like to control everything? No one, right? You'd like to. Yeah. I think I'm pretty laid back, but when I'm involved in something, I like to control it. I think everybody, for the most part, is that way in some aspect of their life. Your way is always best. Your hand in everything. Have you ever actually controlled everything? You ever got to that point? Probably not. Every detail planned meticulously, and then it rains. Or all your finances planned out and goals are in reach and your car breaks down. Planning that wedding or that vacation of your life you've been looking forward to, and then COVID happens. There's always something. We like the concept of being in control, but none of us ever get there. Today we're going to talk about the one who actually is in control of all things. The weather that canceled your event moved by his hand. We don't think like this often, but it is the case, and our prayer lives should reflect it. This is what we're going to look at this morning together. As we see the church continue to lean on prayer, it'll be in two parts this morning. Pray with proper perspective and pray with proper purpose. Acts 4, starting in verse 23. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Acts 4, verse 23. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that we do have your holy word. Help us dive into it today. Help us see what it has for us and apply it to our lives this morning. Even as we leave this place, even in these moments together, help these words change who we are for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So last week we looked at the boldness of Peter and John as they were arrested and threatened for their speech. We saw this together. The religious elites had all gathered to flex their might and to stop the spread of Jesus, the same Jesus that they had already gotten rid of, and yet thousands were gathering in his name. All of the experts are found to be wrong. And the two fishermen that stand before them are found to be right, and no charges could be had, and they were set free. The Holy Spirit at work, and thousands more added to the family of God. This is where we were at last week. Amen. Our text today has us just on the other side of this moment. We're still standing in this moment, a moment which was full of fear and faith. Peter and John returned to the group with a story to tell. And the response to the story is one we should have close to our hearts this morning. This is where we're going to begin. Prayer with proper perspective. Our passage today delivers us right back into the heart of the early church, and this heart is prayer. We all know about Jesus and his prayer life, the importance of him getting away and being with his Father. He cried out prayers for us from the cross. Now, Acts began with this group praying for a replacement for Judas. Then they entered a state of waiting for the Spirit to arrive, and they did so in prayer. We said weeks ago that prayer was for wartime, and we are all at war. This war is spiritual, and eternity is at stake. Amen. Now, the gospel is being preached here, and the Spirit is moving through this area, and the religious rulers try to squash it out with arrests and threats of death and punishment. Then Peter and John are released back to their friends, and what do? They return to prayer. We live in a nation that needs to return to prayer, return to God. Amen. And it begins with God's people. And the early church on our pages today are going to show us the way. What do I mean when I say proper perspective? Well, perspective's your point of view. In drawing, it's the view from which you're drawing from, the angle you can see the things. If you are drawing from a perspective that includes all the way around the thing you're drawing, your picture's not going to be very good. It's from your point of view. That's what perspective is. Your point of view or perspective on the world around you is key. Sadly, most of our world today is political in perspective. View every conflict or disagreement for the right or from the left. This is your perspective, and it shapes your thoughts on everything. It shapes what you deem as correct and true. As Christians, we should value our Christian perspectives above all else. It's not through blue or red that you should see the world, but through Jesus and his word. That should be our perspective. This is what we're going to lean into today as we look at prayer. What's the proper perspective while praying? Our text tells us. They quote Psalm 2 here. That was the Gentiles' rage part. They're quoting Psalm 2 to point to Jesus as the Messiah again. They keep pointing back. He's the Messiah. He's the Messiah. But it also says they lifted their voices together. So communal prayer, people gathered to pray, lifting their voices together to their sovereign Lord and Creator of all things. Do we see this? Verse 24, sovereign Creator. We're also shown that this sovereign Creator is one God in three persons in our passage today. God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit, all addressed in our passage today, all working together. This group here addresses God as their sovereign Creator. What should this mean to us? I ask because if we believe these two statements, our lives would reflect it. So what do they mean? First, for proper perspective, let's look at the Creator of all things. This is all across our Bibles. It may be the most taught attribute of God in all of the Bible. We know the attributes of God: love, grace, mercy, judgment. We see all these things, maybe more than anything, Creator. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's everything. That's the first words given to us by God. Revelation 4:11, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will, they existed and were created. So the first book and the last book and everywhere in between point to the Creator. We're also revealed God the Father was not alone at creation. 1 Corinthians 8:6, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Sound familiar? John 1:3. All things were made through him, Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Hebrews 1:2, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Is that enough? Everything created by God through Jesus. The same Jesus on the cross for us, the creator of all things, died for creation. It could be no other way. Do we understand this? The world as a whole does not understand this, always searching for another explanation. Mankind itself believes itself to be so smart and so advanced, and yet we bypass God and take all the glory for ourselves. We reach out into the heavens and ignore the creator of them. Imagine if someone wrote about this very thing happening today and warned us of where it leads. Would anyone listen? Well, someone wrote about it 2,000 years ago, Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what could be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Amen. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up into the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Paul wrote about his time and said that everyone is turned from God. They know he exists because of creation, and they are creation, but now worship creation and not creator. Sound familiar? Not much has changed in 2,000 years. Everyone worships something. It just isn't the creator of everything. What does this have to do with prayer? Two things to know. First, you are not God. We should not even have to say that. You're not God and you're not even close. This is how we live our lives, like we are our own gods. You're incredibly small in comparison to creation. Incredibly small. How long a drive did you have to get here today? A few miles? A few minutes? Who had the longest drive? We're looking at 25, 30 minutes down front here. Most of you less. 10, 15 miles. 10, 15 minutes. Whatever it was. The earth is about 25,000 miles around. I think it's somewhere around 24.9. 25,000 miles around. How long would it take to travel that? A couple more minutes. The earth's never closer than 200,000 miles to the moon. Think about that. Closest, 200,000 miles to the moon, that beautiful thing we see in the night sky, sometimes in the day sky. Here's an interesting fact. Every planet we know of in our solar systems, or every planet you grew up learning about, will fit between the earth and the moon. How about that for a night sky? What if we saw that when we looked up? The sun is 93 million miles away. We don't have a box for that. We can think about driving here. We can think about 25,000 miles around, maybe 200,000 miles to the moon. 93 million miles. When you walk outside today, the warmth on your face, 93 million miles away. Inside the sun, you can put 1.3 million Earths. Think about that. How much of the Earth have you seen? 1.3 million of them inside the sun. The sun is our closest star when we look up in the night sky. The sun is the closest star, 93 million miles away, the closest star. They estimate 200 billion stars. They don't know. That's in our galaxy. They estimate 200 billion galaxies. They don't know. Do we have that in our heads? That's creation. Who are we? We are an incredibly small part of creation. And yet we have a creator who spoke these things into existence. Yeah. Spoke it into existence. And holds them all together. Amen. Now think about that. This is our God compared to us. Now the second thing to know is that you are incredibly important. That didn't make it sound like it. Incredibly small and not God, but incredibly important. How can we say we are important? Well, of all creation, of all the things seen and unseen, we were given dominion. We were given rule over it. We're also made in the Creator's image. We all rebelled and turned from God. We chose creation over Creator. We sinned against each other and against our Heavenly Father. We made ourselves kings and neglected the true King. We did all these things, and we are still here. Why? Because God the Father looked upon His Son on the cross, suffering immensely for us. He put Him there. The sustainer of everything, suspended in midair on our behalf. We are incredibly small, yet incredibly important to God. When I think about mankind, thinking we are bigger than we are, I think about trying to assemble things, put things together without the directions. Everyone does it. Everyone attempts to do it. I've done it. You can do it. It takes longer. It's going to be tougher. It's going to give you a headache, but you can do it. You may have some pieces left over. It may be tilted to one side, but it is assembled. The question is, why? Why not look at the directions? We think we're somehow more knowledgeable than the person who designed it and gave you the directions on how to do it. In this moment, we think ourselves as bigger or better than the designer. This is backwards, and this is how most of us live our lives in relation to God. I've got this. I'll call you if I need you. What our text shows us is that we always need Him. The early church runs to Him at every turn. The question is, do we pray like this? Do we pray like we know who we are and what was done for us? Do we pray like we know who God is? Look at our pages. Death threats and arrests from the very people who killed Jesus, and they come back together, and there is no hesitation. We must pray to God, and we must continue on. Is this our default? Are we a praying people? If not, the question must be asked, why? Likely the answer is, God has gotten a little smaller in our own eyes, and we have gotten
a little bigger.
No need for God in every aspect of our lives, only on special occasions, and we will let Him know when. This is not the proper perspective.
Amen.
Look around you and see who your God is. Look around you and see what He has done. Perspective is key. Now we do have another term here. Sovereign. This is next. Pray with proper purpose. To look at the sovereign aspect of God, we must look at our purpose for prayer. What is its purpose? It is not to get what you want. If we think it is to get what we want, if it's to impose our will on the story God is telling, then we do not understand sovereignty and we do not understand the purpose of prayer. Let's first discuss sovereignty. What is sovereignty? It's absolute control or authority. We use this to describe states and countries. This is why countries have borders that need to be enforced and protected, because there is a distinction. The land being entered has a different set of laws and procedures. The land has a certain way of doing things. Ask South Korea about the importance of having a sovereign and protected border. When we say God is sovereign, what is He sovereign over? Everything. It is that simple, and it is that immense. Nothing happens outside of God. We've looked at this when we saw that even the rolled dice has its decision given to it by the Lord. We saw this in Proverbs 16:33. We pointed to Job and saw how he suffered immensely under the hand of Satan, but Satan had to ask permission from God. We do not understand this because as humans, we don't have a box for this kind of control. We seemingly have control over nothing. We can't get to work on time. We can't get the kids to obey. Sickness, accidents, control eludes us frequently. Not understanding is one thing, but don't let that lead you to the conclusion that God's sovereignty does not exist or is limited somehow. Let's try to get a grasp on it before we see how prayer relates. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established in his throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. That's sovereignty. Psalm 115:3. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. That's sovereignty. Psalm 135:6, whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the deeps. That's getting closer to us. Proverbs 16:4, the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. That stings a little. Even the wicked were made by God for His purposes. Proverbs 16:9, the heart of the man plans his way. Yes, we finally got one. The heart of the man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Now we're not in heaven anymore, are we? This is getting close to home. We think of God as this all-powerful person that's far off, but there when we need Him. But this says, even our plans, He's moving His will. Deuteronomy 32, verse 39. See now that I, even I, am He, and there's no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And therefore there's none that can deliver out of my hand. Yeah. Isaiah 45:7. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Isaiah 46:10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Are we seeing the pattern here? We believe in the truth of Scripture, so we believe what it tells us about God. This is who God is. He is in complete control. He's also your Father. He's also the God who sent His Son. He has all the power and control and authority, and He used it to save you. We know this salvation. All fallen, all headed to hell, but believers saved by God through Jesus. But we must also realize how we got this salvation. Through evil acts done to Jesus on our behalf by the hand of God. Now our text says that everyone involved was guilty, verse 27. So there is responsibility for your actions, but it was the plan of God. All designed for us and carried out by God. His purpose on the cross. He did not just stumble into it. He didn't look down and say, oh, they've got my son, I'll use this. His purpose on the cross. With this in mind, what's the purpose of prayer? To bend the will of God? No. Ask for the miracle. We see the miracle. He does the miracle. But the purpose is to draw in close to the God who's unbendable. To align ourselves with the will of the one who holds all things together. No better place to be. How do we get there? We believe in the Son. We pray to the Father. We read His holy word. We come together as the family of God He's called us to be. This is how we get there. And when we talk about this, the question is always, what about the evil in the world? Well, we know the evils from the fallen world, the wickedness of man. We do these things. We're responsible for these things. But yet, the cross was evil and used by God. His plan, His purpose. What about the tragedies in my life? No God would ever let the things happen that have happened to me. We've all stood in this place and said these things, felt these things, thought these things. We've all asked the question, why? Why me? Why now? Marriage is shredded. Loved ones lost. Children with cancer. Natural disasters wiping out entire families and communities. Why, God? Why? There's nothing wrong with this response. We've seen this response. We looked at this very thing from David. The very thing from Jesus on the cross when he speaks David's words, Psalm 22, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? Jesus says this. This is natural. But if our inclination is to walk away from God because our lives are not the way we want them to be, then we've lost our focus on who God is. Likely, we're focused on ourselves and not others, and definitely not God. Now, this past Thursday, I did go to the doctors. They stuck needles in the back of my neck for pain relief. The pain was about half gone for 4 or 5 hours. There was another weird feeling. It took me a moment to realize. The pressure behind my right ear was gone. Not the pain, but the pressure, like you're going through the mountains or you're in an airplane and you want to grab your nose and pop it and make it feel better. That pressure, that burning, I've walked around with that for 3 years. It was gone. I was even having trouble walking around. I didn't have balance because it changed so much. I was used to it. It wasn't there anymore. Before I was in bed on Thursday night, it was all back. This was by design. It was supposed to be temporary. They have to do it to get approval for something more important. Why do I tell you this? It was a heavy moment for me when it started coming back, but I believe the medicine used was from God. If I believe the relief is from God, and I believe in the God of the Bible and the things He's doing on our pages, then I must also believe that the trial is from God. His hand in both. It has to be. Why? For me to come in God, to God in prayer, and to have faith that His will be done, that He can restore my health if He wants, then I must also believe that His hand is in everything in my life, including the bad. If not, then not the God we need Him to be. The ability to heal means the situation that needs healing is in His hands. In these moments, Psalm 22 is the cry of my life, of many lives. Not only for the, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? But also for the part that says, yet you are God. You are holy, and I trust in you. It must be both. If not both, then you're not looking to trust God in your life, but you're merely looking for a genie when you rub the lamp. What is it in your life? Was it cancer or COVID? Was it your marriage or your finances, the loss of loved ones? What has you feeling forsaken? We all have it, and it is normal. Do not feel like you are lost because of the things in your life or because you have questioned God. This is normal. What you do from this point forward is what matters. It what reveals your faith. Cry out to God. Let Him know how you feel. Ask for the healing while also realizing who He is. He is God and we are not. This is the purpose of prayer. Not to somehow bend God to your will, but to bend you to His. Amen. To mold us in His Son's image, to help realize what He has done for us, what He is doing for us. Sometimes we do not feel like the life we live currently is for our good, but thankfully we have a God who has a hand in it and sees all things and has the plan. Amen. Suffering is real and promised, but you will never be forsaken. That is also promised. His Son on the cross sealed that deal. You will always be His if you are His. Make sure you are His. Amen. Make sure you believe in the Son, Jesus, the one who knew no sin but became sin for us. He is our Savior and the reason heaven is our destination. And He also revealed to us the importance of prayer. He is God and we are not. And He does things in ways that we would not. Understanding His ways is not the key, but rather understanding that everything in this life that you will face is in His hands. This is key. It is not that we should not ask for a miracle. Ask for the things you need and anticipate they will be delivered, but do so knowing who God is. Knowing that whatever happens in His hand and in His purposes is always your best bet. Look at our pages as we close. The ground shakes from their faith and their prayers, drawing them in closer to God. Almost everyone in this prayer meeting on our pages is going to die for their faith. And in the face of this reality, boldness is their response. Fear drives them further into their faith and into prayer, and spare us was never the plea. Remove the suffering was not their prayer. They do not turn inside themselves to preserve themselves. They merely ask for boldness. We know what awaits us. Give us the boldness to press on. Jesus said it was hard for Him, and it was going to be hard for you. He also said He leaves to prepare your place for eternity. Is everything perfect in your life? Is not the question to answer. The question to answer is, are you His? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, and although suffering will be had, peace and joy and love and celebration will be yours for eternity. What's on your heart? Let your Father know. You are small in creation, but important to the Creator. Your life is designed to bring Him glory. How will your prayer life look with this in mind? Where have you been trying to find comfort? The world will offer it, but cannot deliver it. Comfort in this life is found at the feet of the One whose sovereignty is absolute. It is found in Jesus. Amen. Where are you looking for comfort? Look to Jesus. Bring all things to Him as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this morning. We thank You for Your holy word. We thank You that this early church is revealed to us on our pages so that we can read and look to them for guidance. Father, help us be this kind of church today. Individually and collectively, help us look to You in this way as the Creator of everything, as the sustainer of everything, as the One whose hand is in everything in our lives. Let this drive us. Drive us to our need in prayer for everything, and to drive us into the world, because everyone needs Jesus. The only comfort to be had eternally is from the Son. Anything in this world, anything else in this world is momentary. The Son is forever. Help us deliver this message as we leave today. In Jesus' name, I pray.